Bending Light, Chapter 5. Hermione was sweaty and annoyed. She had checked the bus timetables at least 6 times and left 40 minutes early to make sure she wouldn't be late for her first class, and she was still bloody going to be. Damn the Italian disregard for precision in scheduling. The first bus had been late, and the second had been extremely slow, with the driver stopping to chat with acquaintances not once, not twice, but 3 times. And then he told her he wasn't actually going to her stop because they were behind schedule and had dropped her a good 1/2 mile further away from the meeting point than she had planned. So now she was power walking up the dirt lane, glancing angrily at her watch every 10 seconds and trying to make out which house looked like it had a language course occurring in it. She was now also officially 20 minutes late and fuming. Finally, she saw a small sign for the Language Institute and what looked like a group of cars and people gathered around a low yellow building. She picked up her pace and was practically jogging by the time she burst into the yard, calling an apology to the instructor. A tall woman with a wide smile and a lot of jewellery, she waved off Hermione's words and directed her to sit in the circle with the other students.
"You missed the assessment," she said in slow, clear Italian.
Hermione figured they must already be in the non-English portion of the class.
"But our numbers are off by 1, so you can just put yourself in the intermediate group today with Signore Falucci and Signore..."
Her brow knitted as she focused on a young man, clearly trying to remember his name.
"Not," he supplied, his English accent crisp even on just the 1 syllable.
Hermione suppressed a gasp.
"Of course, Signore Not."
The instructor's eyes rested warmly on him for a beat too long. Hermione looked down and could instantly see why. She didn't know what she had been thinking earlier, but seeing him now, she of course remembered Theo Knott. A picture of a handsome boy with brown hair floated to the front of her mind. On the tall side with intelligent blue eyes and a habitually amused look. Buttoned down and polished up, the way all the Slytherin boys seemed to be. Suddenly she recalled an evening in the library at Hogwarts, just over a year ago, sharing a table with 2 Ravenclaw fifth years. They had been giggling, and Hermione had looked up, distracted, just as the giggling had died to whispers and nudges, and then one of them, the pretty black-haired one, had said,
"Hi, Theo,"
in a distinctly flirtatious tone. A boy in Slytherin robes had stopped in the act of pulling a book from the shelf across the aisle and turned, saying,
"Hi, Jasmine,"
in a way that made even Hermione's skin stand up in little goosebumps. The girl had blushed, and he had sent her a singularly lethal smile before he'd walked away. At the time, Hermione had shaken her head and immediately forgotten the interaction in the intricacy of her arithmetic essay. But now she remembered. Theo Knott. Flirtatious, handsome, a bit of a reputation. Her mind snapped back to the present and the boy in front of her. He looked nothing like the pressed and cleaned Hogwarts student. Hermione released her breath in a silent sigh of appreciation at what she saw. His hair was longer, more curly at the top, and shot through with threads of gold. His skin was also a golden tan, which made his blue eyes stand out in icy contrast. His chin and jaw were dusted with a perfect shadow of dark stubble, and his teeth glinted white as he smiled up at her innocently. Hermione's brows drew together, and she looked down at him, instantly on her guard. Draco hadn't said anything yesterday about him taking the course, and this couldn't be a coincidence.
"Signora?"
the instructor was prompting her. "Granger," Hermione said, still keeping eye contact with Theo. What an unusual shade of blue his eyes were. Crystal clear like the sky above them, but also somehow soft, like the fabric of his worn denim shirt. Hermione realised she was staring when Theo's smile widened. She blinked and looked away, back at the instructor, who was gesturing at her to sit down. There would be no way out of this without causing a scene, so she gave a little sigh and sat. The no English rule was absolute, and Signore Felucci was a strict taskmaster, so there was no real chance to chat during the day, or, more accurately, for Hermione to ask Theo the questions that were burning away in her brain. There was, however, ample time to notice him. The polite way he interacted with the instructor, the effort he put into the lesson, the easy way he laughed at his own mistakes, and the little glances and self-deprecating smiles he kept sending her, obviously trying to be reassuring. Hermione started the day very tense, but by the end was feeling more comfortable. Theo seemed harmless, and determined to put her at ease. And the fact that he was incredibly nice to look at didn't hurt either. Hermione cringed inwardly. What was it with her this week? And wait till Lavender heard about, and for God's sake saw, Theo. Hermione sensed trouble, or at least complications, on the horizon. Finally, the instructor clapped her hands and drew them all back to the circle, explaining that there would be another long session tomorrow, and a shorter one midweek, a pattern which would repeat for the next several weeks until the course concluded. Then she thanked and dismissed the group. Hermione gathered her knapsack and water bottle and pulled her bus schedule out of her pocket. She had planned to wait at the stop at the end of this road, but after this morning wondered if she should walk to the main highway again. She sighed. The afternoon sun was hot and she was tired, but it couldn't be helped. Maybe she'd asked Giancarlo if she could borrow the bike again for tomorrow. She glanced over at Theo, wondering if they'd have chance to talk, but the instructor had pulled him into a conversation, bracelets clinking as she gestured. Theo's back was to her, but she heard him laugh. Hermione gave a little snort. Well, maybe they'd have a chance to chat before class tomorrow. She slid on her sunglasses and picked up her pace, hoping she wouldn't be late for the evening shift at the cafe. It suddenly occurred to her that it would be nice to have a Muggle music player if she was going to be walking and riding to class. Would one figure in her budget? She was calculating when a shout came from behind her.
Signora Granger, wait!
She turned to see Theo jogging towards her down the lane.
Hello,
she said as he came close, unable to prevent a small smile from tugging at her lips.
Nice to speak the native tongue again, isn't it?
He moved his mouth exaggeratedly.
When I speak Italian, it's like I'm using different muscles, or shifting a gear in my brain.
Shifting a gear? Hermione's brows went up. She was sure Theo's family were pure blood for generations.
I know, so Muggle of me.
He wrinkled his nose and Hermione couldn't hold back the laugh that bubbled from between her lips. There was a little pause and then...
Hermione Granger,
he said, and tilted his head.
Here we are.
Yes, here we are, she replied. Then, as a group of other students walked near and seemed to converge around them, Theo glanced down at them and stuck his hand out.
Nice to meet you.
His smile was wry. She looked down at his hand for a moment, then back up at him. He gave her an encouraging little nod. And you, she said, grasping his warm palm. He held her hand a little longer than necessary until she gently disentangled it. He brought his freed hand up and ran it through that lovely, curly hair.
"I hear you met my roommate yesterday,"
he said, widening his eyes and lifting his brows.
"Absolute ray of sunshine, that one."
Hermione pressed her lips together against a giggle.
"Indeed. Lovely person. Very charming."
He barked out a laugh, and she wanted to ask him more, but with all of the strangers nearby, she was reluctant. Theo looked around and suddenly a gleam was in his eye.
How are you getting home?
He asked.
Are you riding? Walking?
Walking and bus, Hermione said with a frown, which after this morning I know to be a poor method.
Oh, excellent. I was afraid you had a bike.
Hermione cocked her head at him.
Because I'm giving you a ride, he explained. Come on, I'm just over there.
He pointed to a battered little car parked against the house wall and shot her a quick smile.
We can ride together every day.
Hermione defaulted to looking for reasons not to say yes, but couldn't find any other reason than, you're Theo Knott and I'm Hermione Granger, which seemed incredibly stupid considering their current circumstances. Okay, she said. I mean, that would be lovely. Thank you. After a bit of shocked disbelief on Hermione's part that someone Theo's height could fit in such a tiny car, they got in and started down the rough drive. Hermione kept her eyes on his hands and feet as he worked the gears. She wasn't all that convinced that he could possibly know how to drive a Muggle car properly. He noticed her doing it and laughed.
I'm totally competent, you know.
I'll be the judge of that, Hermione said, and he laughed again, then pulled them out of the drive and onto the road. The wind picked up and began rushing through the windows and around the flap of canvas covering the roof over their heads, causing Hermione to clutch at her hair. How in the world did you end up with a car, anyway? She yelled over the sound.
A bloke whose job I took at the restaurant was moving to France and selling it. I got it on a great deal. I figured it would be useful. And it's a classic.
Oh? Hermione said, with some scepticism. It felt more like a tin can. Theo saw her look and laughed again.
It's a 1979 Fiat 500, the last year they made them. I can't believe you don't know this, Muggle.
She rolled her eyes at him and then grabbed at the door as he took a curve on the fast side, and the little car seemed to almost tip up on two wheels.
Are you sure this is safe? She yelled.
Perfectly.
He accelerated on a straightway.
Lot safer than Draco's motorcycle at any rate.
Malfoy has a motorcycle. Hermione's shock was extreme. Theo shot her a sidelong glance.
Yeah, mad, isn't it?
Hermione looked out the window. A vision of Draco Malfoy astride some gleaming hunk of metal popping to the forefront of her consciousness. She stuffed it down, shook her head slightly, and turned back to Theo. I guess it's more surprising than anything. You're adapting so quickly.
I did achieve a Muggle Studies owl.
A glint of blue flashed in her direction, and a dimple appeared on his cheek. God, he was legitimately gorgeous. Hermione started after a slightly overlong pause. I didn't know any Slytherins took Muggle Studies. Or was it a know-your-enemy type of thing?
We're not all the same.
The smile dropped from his face. His response took Hermione by surprise, but she fought her reflex to apologise. She didn't belong to a house that excluded an entire class of people. Instead, she changed the subject. So, how are you liking it here? How's it going? She waved her hand to encompass the whole thing. He squinted out at the road before he answered, speaking slowly.
It's strange, you know. I love it, and yet it's almost surreal. Like, I'm here living la dolce vita.
His eyes flicked to her at the reference.
And yet there's a war in the background.
He shook his head.
I guess I'm just trying to live for the moment, and enjoy those moments quite a bit. Except when crippling dread accosts me.
Hermione turned to fully face him. That's almost exactly what I would have said if someone had asked me that question. They were pulling into town now, and he came to a stop behind a line of cars. His smile appeared briefly again, and he looked at her fully as they idled. Hermione felt something flash between them. Maybe a bit of wariness on both sides washing away. She felt her own lips lift. Then traffic started moving again, and almost immediately a cartoonish horn beeped from behind them.
"So, Lavender Brown," Theo said, the corner of his mouth tugging further up.
"Oh, not you too," Hermione groaned.
"No, no, I'm not here to gloat. I mean, we've already discussed my partner."
"Right. Although, aren't you two good friends?"
"Not really. Our families run in the same circles," he shrugged. "But we've never been close. He's much better friends with Blaise Zabini."
"Ah, and is he in protection too?"
"Not that I know of."
Theo navigated an extremely tight turn, and Hermione saw the advantage of having such a tiny car on these twisting streets.
"Blaise's family have always been very good at giving the appearance of neutrality."
Hermione wrinkled her nose, then cut her eyes to him. "And how did you end up here? To be blunt, your family isn't known for being neutral."
"No."
He paused for a long time, and Hermione wondered if he was going to answer her. When he finally spoke, his voice was low.
"Let's just say, when I saw a chance to get out, I took it."
"Oh," Hermione said, her hands starting towards him involuntarily. She hadn't expected that at all. He glanced at her briefly, then turned his eyes back to the road.
"So, how is it going with Lavender?" he asked after a bit, his voice markedly lighter. "I'd assume, after last year, that you two aren't the best of friends."
Hermione accepted the subject change. "We're actually getting along well," she said. "There was a bump in the beginning, mostly me being a bitch, but we worked it out. I actually like her now that I know her better." Theo glanced at her and raised his eyebrows.
"What?" Hermione said. "I'm just surprised. I didn't clock you as someone who could change an opinion that easily."
Hermione sighed. "Yes, I suppose people see me as rather rigid."
"I wouldn't go that far."
His dimple appeared again, and Hermione snorted.
"Liar."
Theo turned his attention back to the road.
"Do you want me to drop you at your flat, or do you need to go straight to the cafe?"
My flat. Thanks. This ride has allowed me 20 minutes to change my clothes and have a shower before my shift. So I thank you very much, as do my customers." She inclined her head to him. He laughed.
"You're very welcome. And shall I come round tomorrow to fetch you? 10:30.
Oh, I'll walk over to you. It's too difficult to try and navigate the streets around my flat. They're so narrow."
"Okay, 10:45 at mine then. Number 3, Piazza del Duomo. First floor."
"Excellent. And you can drop me just there. I'll walk the rest of the way. It's only 2 minutes. He nodded, then stopped the car and leaned over to open her door, his tanned forearm brushing against her as his head practically rested in her lap. Hermione gave a startled little laugh as he grinned up at her. Then she slid quickly out of the car. "Thanks again." He stayed stretched across the seat, peering up at her and keeping her gaze.
"You're very welcome."
Hermione shook her head slightly as she turned to walk away. "I can't believe he just showed up at that course." Lavender stirred her crema di caffè and eyed Hermione, her gaze bright. "I know, and Malfoy didn't mention a thing about it yesterday, so I can't help but wonder if it was a motivated decision." Hermione waved to a regular as he pushed out the door of the cafe and noted a young couple come in and sit next to each other in a booth, clearly on a date. The evening shift was so different from the morning one, and she rather enjoyed the change. Lavender burst into laughter at the mention of Malfoy's name, earning herself an amused and appreciative look from a group of schoolboys who were sitting in the corner. One of them called out to her, and she flicked her long, honey-blonde hair over her shoulder and shot him a flirtatious wave, much to the vocal support of his friends, who immediately started jostling him and slapping him on the back. She turned back to Hermione and rolled her eyes, although it was clear she loved the attention. Hermione snorted and shook her head.
"I'm still dying over the fact that your beautiful boy at the pools was Draco Malfoy."
Lavender looked like she was going to burst into laughter again. Now it was Hermione's turn to roll her eyes. She stuck out her tongue at her roommate for good measure too.
"I really need to see him now," Lavender said. "I might even have to take the drastic step of going to the bookshop."
"Well, don't expect service with a smile." Hermione bent over to retrieve the sugar from under the counter. "The clerk there is an arsehole." Lavender giggled again.
"But Theodore," she said, leaning on the counter and slurping at her drink. "Oh, he seemed to have liked him a bit better."
"Yes." Hermione got busy arranging sugar packets. "He was surprisingly easy to chat to."
"Uh-huh. And how was he to look at? Has he done as dramatic a turnabout as Malfoy?"
"A turnabout? Huh." Hermione had actually been thinking about this, and what the bloody hell her reaction to Malfoy had been about. She hadn't shared her theory with Lavender yet, but she was beginning to think it wasn't so much a change in him as it was a fact that she wasn't sure she had ever really looked at him before. At least not without the weight of their mutual prejudices. Her mind flashed on his body slicing into the water at the pools, the line of his jaw in the dim light of the bookshop. She'd always hated him, so she never noticed that he was beautiful. As disturbing as the conclusion was, it felt accurate. And Theo? Well.
"Earth to Hermione! Come in, Hermione!"
Lavender was waving a hand in front of her face. Hermione stared and Lavender grinned.
"So he's that good?"
"I mean..." Hermione squinted at her. "Is it possible we just never noticed them that way before? At school? And now we're in this new context and it's like suddenly... we see them differently."
Lavender raised her brows. "I noticed them at school."
"Really? I could barely recall Theo until I saw him this morning."
"Yeah, Theo is the less striking of the two, but he's still..."
Lavender's eyes widened, and she gestured with her cup.
"And Malfoy."
She fanned herself slowly.
"I mean, I never liked him, but after about fourth year or so, it couldn't be denied. You just always had your head buried in a book, and you were focused on Ron."
"Perhaps, but Draco Malfoy..." Hermione gave a small shudder. "But maybe he wasn't as awful to you as he was to me, you being pure blood and all."
"No, he was a dick to me too. The Browns have never been wealthy, and we have some intermarriage in our line, so we're not all that pure either."
Hermione snorted at "not all that pure," and Lavender flicked some foam from her drink at her.
"Anyway..."
Hermione noticed the young man from the couple who had come in earlier looking ready to order. "Be right back," she said to Lavender, and smiled.
"Oh yeah, this is not over. You still haven't told me everything about Theo."
Hermione snorted softly, then turned her attention totally to her customer. Once he and his girlfriend were served, she ambled back over to Lavender, who was noisily sucking up the dregs of her cafe.
"So what do you want to know?" Hermione asked, wiping at a spot on the counter.
Lavender stared at her empty cup.
"I really want another of these, but I'm trying not to gain a stone while we're here," she said mournfully,
as she ran her fingers around the inner rim of the glass to catch the last of the foam. She popped it in her mouth and sucked it clean.
"I want to know why you got a funny little look on your face when I asked you about him," she said. "Spill."
"I guess he's just..." Hermione scrubbed vigorously. Would she ever be entirely comfortable with Lavender's brand of girl talk?
"Looking well?"
She stopped scrubbing and glanced up at Lavender.
"And if you must know, I'm a bit disturbed by my reactions to both him and Malfoy in 1 week."
Lavender nodded.
"You're not used to noticing."
"Maybe not, or at least not noticing boys like them. Or maybe it is the sun and the clean air or something. Malfoy certainly looks less pale and haunted, and Theo is practically gilded."
"Gold? But Theo was always dark."
"Oh, gods, I'm so curious," Lavender squealed.
"Maybe you should go see for yourself. I think he's working right now."
Hermione pointed her chin in the general direction of the square. Lavender straightened up, her eyes avid.
"I'm absolutely doing that. Back in a mo."
She hurried towards the door just as a large group came in. Hermione chuckled and turned to help what looked like a post-dinner crowd. About 10 minutes later, Lavender was back, all bright eyes and significant looks. Hermione ignored her until she served all of her customers, then came out from behind the counter to join her at her table.
"Well, there must be something in the air here."
Lavender shook her head, her eyes wide.
"Wow."
Hermione laughed.
"Yeah, now you know what I mean. Now I want to see Malfoy. Shit, is this place doing the same to us?"
Lavender held out her arm as if to study her skin. Hermione laughed again.
"Did you talk to him?" "No, he looked busy. With a table full of women, actually."
Lavender's brows waggled.
"But he definitely saw me. I waved and he nodded. We should probably all, I don't know, meet up at some point?"
She shrugged. "Well, at least 3 out of 4 of us," Hermione snorted, getting up as a new wave of people came through the door.
"Right," Lavender said, "but I'm going to the bookshop tomorrow."
Chapter 6 Hermione craned her neck as she entered a small piazza near the top of town. Theo had said number 3, but the numbers weren't always easy to locate in these old squares. Finally, she spotted it, an ornately tooled 3 in worn wooden black paint on a faded green facade. She looked up to see what looked like an ancient building, tall and narrow, with peeling stucco and giant shuttered windows. Intriguing. She found the massive wooden entry door and was surprised that it didn't have a lock. Pushing it open, she found herself in a dim entryway with a curving stair and not much else. First floor. She started up the steps through the murky light and came to a small hallway with 1 door at the end. Each floor must be a single flat. She was curious to see it. The feel was so different from the warm, light-filled space she was sharing with Lavender. Almost as if someone had matched their living quarters to their Hogwarts houses. She snorted. She didn't think the order was quite that organised. As she raised her hand to knock on the door, a little pulse of nervousness ran through her. How strange to be here, doing this. Also, she was a few minutes early. Should she wait? But then she shook off the feeling with some impatience and rapped smartly. It wasn't that early, and this was her life now. She just had to get used to it. With that in mind, she took a deep breath and composed herself to greet Theo. The door opened and she exhaled with a bright hello on her lips, but was caught up short, because it wasn't Theo framed in the doorway. It was Malfoy, and he was wet again. Hermione shut her mouth with a snap after a few moments of letting it hang open, distressed that she hadn't prepared herself better for this.
Hello, she said. I'm here for Theo.
Still in the shower,
Malfoy said, stepping backwards.
But you can come in and wait.
He was barefoot. Barefoot in muggled jeans and a t-shirt, with his wet hair swept back from his forehead, just like at the pools. He must have just gotten out of the shower himself. She noted these things, then gave herself a sharp scold. Snap out of it, Granger, for fuck's sake. She nodded and Malfoy pushed the door shut over her head, then turned to walk down a long, high-ceilinged corridor. She followed his muggle clothing-clad form dumbly, past a few closed doors and shadowed doorways, until they emerged into a huge room highlighted by three massive windows, the shuttered one she'd noticed from the square. Her impression of atmospheric and artful decay increased as she looked around to take in the faded walls, dark furniture and elegant mouldings. "Wow," she said, almost without thinking. "This is so different from our own flat."
"Oh?"
Malfoy had gone through a wide doorway into the kitchen area of the room and was busy with something on the counter. Hermione shifted her bag on her shoulder and moved towards the windows to look out. The closed-in view of the piazza and the buildings ringing was charming, but again, very different. "Yes, mine is low-ceilinged and sort of cosy. Also, we're on the third floor at the top of one of the streets that go up towards the centre of town, so we have views over the countryside. It's very light." Why she was babbling like this, she didn't know, but she couldn't seem to stop.
"Sounds nice. This place is a bit of a tomb."
Hermione could hear that Malfoy had turned to face her, and she began to turn towards him to object. She hadn't meant to make an unfavourable comparison, when abruptly he continued.
"Would you like an orange juice?"
She finished turning. "What?" He gestured, an orange in his hand, and she realised the thing on the counter was a juicer, the old-fashioned metal kind with a lever.
"We found this contraption in the cupboard, so Theo brought home some bags of oranges from the restaurant last night. They're very sweet."
Yes, please." Hermione took a step towards him, surprised.
"You may as well sit,"
he said, turning back to the counter and using a long knife to slice the orange in two. He sliced several more, and Hermione was strangely fascinated by his movements.
"He'll be a while primping."
Hermione glanced at her watch.
"You should be fine," he said. "It's only 10 minutes from here, and you're early."
"Right," Hermione said. "I tend to do that." She heard the faintest snort as she sat gingerly on one of the ornate dining chairs ringing a massive oak table at the side of the room. She looked around some more, noting the sooty, man-height black fireplace, the scratched mirror hanging over it, a beautifully decrepit chandelier floating above. "This building must have been a palazzo at one time," she said, getting up again to study a muted landscape on the wall.
"Yes, I believe it was a single residence. These would have been the reception rooms, hence the insanely high ceilings."
Malfoy glanced up.
"Probably freezing in the winter."
"I'm sure."
"Here."
Hermione turned again and saw that he had moved towards her and was holding out a tall glass, the juice inside an intensely vivid shade. "Thank you," Hermione said, suddenly flustered. Why was he being so non-horrid? She stepped forward and took the glass, bringing it to her lips without thinking. She took a sip, and the flavour exploded on her tongue, so sweet and fresh that she made an involuntary sound. His eyes widened fractionally before he turned back around and began slicing more fruit. Hermione was immediately mortified and took her glass away to the far end of the room, ostensibly to examine a sombre portrait hanging in a darkened corner. Why had she moaned like a bloody porn star? For fuck's sake! She covered her embarrassment by taking another huge gulp of the juice. It was insanely delicious.
"It's very good," she choked out, trying to salvage a bit of normalcy.
"Habit forming," he said,
and it sounded like he was sipping his own glass. A silence stretched, and Hermione began to feel uncomfortable, when suddenly Theo poked his head around the doorway from the corridor.
"You're here," he exclaimed, and Hermione wheeled towards him. He was wearing nothing but a towel. God, what were they trying to do to her?
"Yes, bright and early," she waved her juice glass.
"I'm just out of the shower. Won't be a moment," he said brightly. "How are the oranges?" he asked Draco.
"Very good. I think Granger would agree, wouldn't you?"
His voice held a hint of humour, and she realised the bloody prat was making fun of her. She shot him a glare.
"Yes, very good."
"Excellent. Make me a glass?"
"Mm-hmm." Draco turned back to the counter and Theo disappeared down the hall. Hermione decided she wasn't leaving this conversation looking like an awkward idiot.
"So, Theo tells me you have a motorcycle," she tried for breezy and confident. "However did that come about?"
"I saw it the second day I arrived and I bought it," he said,
fitting an orange half into the juicer and pressing down. Well, this was going nowhere fast. Hermione tried again.
"But you didn't know how to ride one before? How did you learn?"
"No, I just hopped on. It's a lot like a broom."
He leaned against the counter and took a long drink from his glass. Hermione snuck a glance at his throat as it bobbed up and down, then forced herself to focus.
"But there are gears and parts and shifts and brakes and things. I don't even know if I could just jump on one and ride one straight away."
"You probably couldn't."
"Well, I don't know if I'd say that."
Hermione felt her irritation rise as she moved back towards him.
"Don't get your knickers in a twist. I'm just repeating what you said."
"I'm not." Hermione stopped and crossed her arms. "Whatever. I'm not letting you bait me."
"I'm not trying to."
A half smile on his face said otherwise. Hermione looked at her watch and took a calming breath. Where the bloody hell was Theo?
"It's just a shock," she said finally, to cover the long silence. "You, with your muggle motorcycle and your muggle jeans."
She meant it as a challenge, or maybe even an insult, but he just raised a brow.
"I contain multitudes, Granger."
A laugh burst from between her lips, taking her totally by surprise. His face registered surprise too, for the briefest moment, before it settled back into its normal aloof lines. He pushed off from the counter, a glint in his eyes.
"Would you like to try it sometime?"
"What?"
Hermione's brain went in several different directions. He frowned.
"The bike."
Oh.
Hermione was at a loss. She really had no desire to conduct a two-wheeled death machine, especially on Italian roads with Italian drivers. But the word that came out of her mouth was... "Okay?" Malfoy looked like he was about to reply when Theo strode into the room looking fresh and bright-eyed.
"Are this mine?" he asked, picking up a full glass of juice from the counter.
Draco nodded and Theo took a deep drink, draining nearly half the glass.
"That is fucking delicious," he said, wiping his mouth. "You two have a nice chat."
His eyes glinted as he glanced from Malfoy to Hermione. She forced a smile onto her lips.
"Lovely."
Malfoy murmured something indistinct.
"Ace."
Theo drank the rest of the juice, then looked at Hermione.
"Ready?"
"Yes, absolutely."
Hermione walked forward and set her glass on the kitchen counter.
"Thanks for that,"
she told Malfoy, looking briefly into his silver eyes. Such an odd colour, but so striking. Oh, she meant it to be a brief look. She shook her head mentally and forced her eyes away.
Any time?
His response was so quiet she barely heard him. Theo was jingling his keys and moving towards the door.
Our chariot awaits.
He gave Hermione a crinkly-eyed smile that she couldn't help but return. She followed him and spared one glance over her shoulder as she went down the hall. But Malfoy had already gone. Draco brought his bike to a smooth stop under a spreading fir tree and cut the ignition. He lowered the kickstand and swung his leg over the saddle, extending his arms in a long stretch before he stood and started crunching across the gravel courtyard. The weather was much cooler here in the mountains, the air almost crisp. He stopped for a moment and marvelled at the difference a few thousand feet of elevation made. Tall trees and craggy rock instead of rolling golden brown hills. He took another deep breath, then headed towards one of the grand stone buildings that line the courtyard, in which he now stood. He wasn't sure why he'd pointed the bike towards the monastery. He supposed he'd wanted a longish ride and a cooler temperature, and to get some more of the good soap that they sold at the pharmacy here. Or maybe some peace. The last seemed to be the most accurate, as he found himself opening the door to the chapel and slipping into the silent space, the quiet settling over him like a mantle. He'd discovered this place one day after he'd gotten the bike, when a customer at the bookshop had told him that if he wanted some curvy roads where he could get up some speed, he'd have to go into the hills. The monastery had been suggested as a destination, and Draco had thought, why not? He'd never been to a Muggle religious place before. He didn't quite know what to expect. But the calm, sunny quiet had not been it. He'd been told too much about the violence connected with Muggle religion. He strolled silently down the aisle, taking in the soaring windows, beamed ceiling and iconography, none of which meant anything to him. It was just quiet here. Hushed. He paused for a moment, ran his thumb over a polished wooden bench, and breathed a few times before turning back to the door and moving out into the sunlight again. He hadn't planned to ride today, his one day off. He'd planned to go to the market, tidy the flat, get some reading done. But instead he'd jumped on the bike almost immediately after Theo and Granger had left. He'd needed movement and speed after that strange encounter. A picture of Granger's rose-pink lips touching glass appeared in his mind, and that soft sound she made when she tasted the juice whispered in his ear. He swore softly, hiding a look from a cotton-robed monk who was walking by. Draco felt himself colour, and gave the man a brief nod, then picked up his steps and headed towards the ancient pharmacy. Along with the chapel and a rather impressive library, it formed the public sections of the cloister. Going from the bright sunlight into its dark panelled interior was disorientating, and he stood and blinked for a few moments.
Ah, the Archangel returns!
A jovial voice came from behind the counter. Draco blinked and moved further into the shop.
Hello, Signore. Will you unfurl your wings today, I wonder?
The old man winked, and turned to replace a huge glass jar on a high shelf. Draco gave a short laugh. The last time he'd come in, the man had confused him with all this talk, but he'd read up on it since. The man thought he looked like an emissary of the Muggle Christian God. They looked like Vila in the illustrations. It was his bloody hair, he knew it.
Not today, Signore. I'm just here for some soap, and maybe some more of that blackberry honey, if you have it.
I do, I'll get it for you. And the soap was the Angelica Citrus, correct?
Yes,
Draco said, through a sudden yawn.
So fitting.
The man puttered out from behind the counter.
You are tired,
he said, stopping and peering up at Draco. Draco nodded. One of the nightmares had woken him up before dawn, and he'd never gotten back to sleep again.
Then I'll add some sleep oil, too. 3 drops on your pillow each night. Lavender to help you go to sleep, and sweet orange to sweeten your dreams.
The man punctuated the air with a pointed finger. Draco nodded and murmured his thanks. He could actually bloody use that. Well, what he could really use was a dreamless sleep potion. Or 10. But this feeble facsimile would have to do. He thanked the man again and got out his muggle money, counting rather carefully despite his bravado with Granger the other day.
Granger. Her flashing eyes as she stared at him and started to tell him off about the bike. Her surprised little laugh at his quip.
Draco forcibly stopped the train of thought and shook himself back to the present. He laid out his money and the man took it with thanks, grinning up at him through thick glasses.
Stop by again next time you fall out of heaven, he teased.
Draco just inclined his head and held up his bag as he walked back out of the door. Draco pulled back into the village just as the evening sun began to sink behind the buildings. He'd stopped at the Willow Spring and done the walk there, eaten his lunch and taken the leisurely long way home, and felt he'd killed as much time as he possibly could. He actually hated his days off. Being idle left him entirely too much time to think, to worry about his parents, about what would happen next, about whether or not he'd live to see his next birthday. All the better to live like there's no tomorrow. Theo's voice echoed in his mind. Draco had scoffed at the time, but he was beginning to see the wisdom in it. He may never have this kind of peace again. On that thought, he suddenly pulled the bike to a stop and parked it near the square. He'd see if Theo was free for an early dinner before his shift started. Walking up to the trattoria, he spotted Theo right away, sitting at one of the tables and folding napkins, his curly head bent over the task. With a dart of surprise, Theo realised he'd become rather fond of his roommate. He'd never really cared for Theo before. He'd always considered him too glib, too flip, too gregarious. He'd always preferred the cool, calm company of Blaze, or Pansy's venomous but restrained presence. And Theo was still an overdramatic, wily git, but he was also a good roommate, and seemed to have a knack for pulling Draco out of his moods.
"Got all the corners lined up properly?"
he called as he approached. Theo snapped his head up.
"Yes, fuck me. This is going slow. Detail work is definitely not my strong suit."
Draco snorted and slid into the seat across from him.
"Give me some of those."
Theo handed him a stack of linen squares and muttered his thanks.
"Did you eat yet?"
Draco asked, familiarising himself with the proper fold and quickly executing it.
"No."
Theo watched Draco as he folded 3 napkins in quick succession, then shook his head.
"But the sugo is supposed to be the molte bene tonight, according to the cook. Do you want to have a plate? We also got in another crate of that good red. I could use a glass before I brave the hungry masses."
"Definitely. I'm starved."
Draco leaned back as Theo signalled to one of the other waiters.
"Where were you just now?"
Theo asked, as he tackled another napkin.
"I rode up to the monastery and did the walk at the spring, cruised around. It was a lot cooler in the mountains."
"Nice. I need to get up there one of these days. Did you get some more of the berry honey?"
"I did. And how was language class today?"
Draco found himself a little more curious than he would have liked.
Good, yeah. I hate to admit that you were right about anything, but I think it's really helping me. I feel like I'm thinking less about what I'm going to say instead of it just coming out.
That could be dangerous.
Ha ha.
And Granger, how is her progress?
Draco could have kicked himself as Theo's bright eyes glanced up and scanned his face, a glint of amusement flickering within them.
She's doing well. Better than I am, at any rate. She told me she's quite fluent in French, and I think it's helping her.
Hmm, Draco grunted, keeping his lips physically sealed.
You know, she's different than I thought she would be, Theo started, then interrupted himself to thank one of the waiters as he placed two plates of pasta and a carafe of red wine on the table.
Draco thanked the waiter too, and poured them each a glass of the light garnet liquid.
Oh?
He said. Theo's brows went up as he took a swig of the wine.
You were saying, Draco said,
realizing he had dug himself another neat hole.
About Granger.
He spoke into his glass. Now Theo's full smile emerged.
Oh, right. Yes, she's lovely. Not at all the unpleasant, rigid type I thought she was.
He took a bite of his pasta and made a rapturous sound.
Ugh, why is the food so much better here?
He asked, after he'd swallowed. Draco shook his head in solidarity. It must be some kind of muggle alchemy.
Of course, Theo continued. She's clever and outspoken and opinionated. But aren't we all?
He held his wine glass up to the light and swirled it.
No, Draco smirked down at his plate. At least not the outspoken part.
Not any more. Theo laughed and they ate in silence for a while, before Theo poked his head up again.
You know, Brown stopped by here the other day too. Peeked at me from the next to that tree over there.
He pointed with his fork.
She was spying on you?
No, she wanted me to see her. Waved and everything. Of course, I was rather busy with a table of 8 nurses' trainees, celebrating a birthday.
I'm sure you hated that.
Oh, it was dreadful. Having to take 3 phone numbers so discreetly that the others didn't realise.
Theo put the back of his hand on his forehead, and Draco rolled his eyes.
But seeing Brown, and getting to know Granger, it's given me an idea.
Draco looked at Theo questioningly, and felt a distinct sense of unease.
We should get together, have dinner or something. Here, or we could invite them over. We're in this mad situation, just the 4 of us. Why in the world would we act like strangers? Because we're from different houses. Feels a bit juvenile at this point, really.
Draco privately agreed, but his instinct was to keep away from Granger, and these strange little attractions he seemed to be feeling towards her. He couldn't think of any way to actually say this, though, so what came out was a reluctant...
All right.
Theo peered at him.
Really?
Yeah.
Draco leaned back and drained his wine glass.
You're right. I don't particularly relish the idea, but it would be stupid to not make the connection.
Excellent, Theo nodded. Should we do it here or at the flat? Here there's the advantage of a public place, so you and Granger can't go at each other too rapidly. But at the flat, we can speak more freely.
I'm perfectly capable of exercising any restraint necessary, thank you.
Right. That's why I had to be on the other side of the discarded silent treatment on the way to class this morning. What did you say to her, anyway?
Nothing. She asked me about the bike.
Theo levelled a look at him.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I'll book us a table here after I talk to Granger about it. Or maybe I'll pop to the gelateria a bit later.
He steepled his hands.
A nice public place,
to keep us all polite and above board.
Better make sure you set aside some of this wine. We're going to need it.
Draco topped up Theo's glass, then tipped the last of the carafe into his own.
Done and done.
Theo flashed a smile as he saluted Draco across the table.